Thanks very much for having a yarn with me today, Pablo, about your film Mother Country. One of the things that's most fascinating to me about this film is that it, even though you're in England and you're a person of Chilean, your parents left Chile because of the Pinochet coup. In Australia, we have had similar people living their lives in with the shadow of those same events here in Australia. You say that you actually tried to avoid that past history in your new location in London. What led you to go with your parents back to Chile to investigate?
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, I was born in the UK, in London, in 1978. When you watch the film, you'll see this. And my parents were political refugees to the UK from Chile, and, you know, after having spent time in the concentration camps of Pinochet after the coup. And so I grew up in the UK. I become a sort of journalist and documentary filmmaker specializing on Latin America, but hadn't really made my own film about Chile, and had, you know, as I say in the film, kind of kept Chile a little bit at arm's length. But in 2019, in October, there was a mass uprising across Chile against the system. Essentially, people were fed up with the system that had been, you know, the economic system was one that was essentially largely untouched since the days of the dictatorship, even though democracy formally returned in 1990. And so this uprising, I gave a few interviews in the UK, and I just felt a strong need to go to Chile to witness what was going on for myself. And then, you know, then I started thinking about what I would go and do, make a film, look at the uprising. And then through conversations with other people, with friends, with documentary colleagues, they suggested that really I should try and look at both the uprising, but also link it to my own family history, because obviously the uprising was against a system forced upon Chileans through, you know, guns that had resulted in me being English and not Chilean. So I was reluctant to make that a film that sort of delved into the personal, but eventually decided to go and do it, and that began that was the first of three filming trips over 3.5 years to Chile, and then we filmed in the UK, and then that became this film that looks at, I guess, that uprising, but my family's history, issues of identity, tries to look at, I guess, some of the political moments of Chile through the prism of my family and their comrades.
Can we look at reticence? I mean, the English are renowned for a cultural reticence, I guess, dealing with disturbance and things of that nature by trying to underplay so that it doesn't overwhelm. But in your family's case, when you go back, you actually talk about a sense of amnesia within the country, not wishing to acknowledge. Can you tell me about how that plays out in the actual film?
I mean, the reticence on a personal level was because they're just, you know, people are different, but I never really wanted to be, you know, I was reluctant to sort of expose some of the family history to the wider public. But I think what really sort of swung it for me was the fact that my mum has always been someone who has sort of put her experience out there for the media. She's always been very vocal, and I think it's something that she feels that she, one, that she's able to do, and two, that she needs to do and, you know, can do, because understandably there are many similar comrades who went through torture, etc., who are unable really to talk about their experiences in public, or and also to their children, which is something I've found a lot since making the film. So there was a sort of reticence on a personal level, but once I kind of discussed it with my mom and then my dad, and they were, you know, willing to go on this sort of journey with me, I thought, it was worth doing. But at the same time, I was also conscious that I didn't want to make a film that just sort of stayed on the personal. It was the struggle, I think, and the challenge. One of the many challenges in this film was to strike a balance between going into a film through a personal story, but not staying too much in the personal, sort of going in between the macro and the micro.
Yeah, no, because it's a classic journalistic technique to make something mean something to the listener or the viewer by making it personal, but it has a way of bleaching out the relevance to the in a larger sense. But that's what it is, they don't like to talk about it being the human condition and that sort of stuff. But you deliberately call this Mother Country, and you make a deliberate a decision to have it led by your mother's narrative, which is really fascinating decision. Tell us about that.
It's called Mother Country with a comma.
Comma, yeah, that's right.
which some people think is a typo, but...
No, I figured it wasn't.
No, it wasn't, because I felt... Yeah, it just felt right to have, important to have that comma, obviously to have a slight play on the word, and in a way for it to sort of exemplify sort of that division that maybe that has existed between my mother and her country, and my mother country. So, I mean, even though my father is in the film, I decided to put the emphasis slightly on my mum, just because, I felt that both, without giving it...
people have to go and watch it.
Yeah, but, I think at the end, it became a sort of, a love letter to them. Ultimately, maybe that's how I would summarise the film, even though it's very difficult and there's very difficult things in there, both as a sort of son to listen to. Ultimately, I hope that I have highlighted something that has become clear to me throughout, my life, but, very clear, I think, in the film, and something that I think is part of who my parents are, which is this sort of relentless activism for justice and human rights, and especially my mum. She said in a recent Q&A something, a pathological hope that she has, and her kind of, whether it be today on anti-genocide camp, in favor of Palestine against the genocide Israel's doing in Palestine, she's very very involved in the campaign to see freedom for Julian Assange. And I actually made a film with Julian's father. So she's someone that has always felt very much the need to be there, present, fighting and struggling, even in the darkest of times, which is something kind of I say in the film. And I think that's, in a way, something I really wanted to highlight, rather than dwell too much on the issues around my own identity with Chile.
It's very brave stuff, but it's also the actual commonality between humans. I was really fascinated by I must stress, I haven't actually seen the film, but I would love to see this film. And the opening sequence, someone was writing about the film, and the opening sequence where you and your mother and father go to the place where she was tortured, which turns out to be a suburban house where people actually live. It's just mind-blowing, isn't it? It's absolutely mind-blowing idea.
Yeah, no, I mean, and actually I was in Chile in January. I went to show the film, and it was actually quite an overwhelming reception. And that house was essentially bought by the government last year as part of its kind of truth and memory policies. And so it's been now run by a group of ex sort of, you know, survivors, I guess, of survivors from the house.
Yeah.
And I actually went inside the house with my mum, which was quite an emotional experience. It's a kind of house of horrors. And actually, yeah, I mean, I'm now making a new film with an investigative journalist, John McAvoy, who actually featured in one of the scenes in the film, because we were there filming as well on one of the trips. And it was, I mean, it's not that relevant, but that one of the, I'm focusing on the UK government relationship to Chile between 1960, basically, to 2000, when they sent back Pinochet, who was here, you know, meant to be extradited to Spain for war crimes. But the British government sent him back. And one of the victims of the dictatorship during the 70s was a British citizen called William Bozier, who was never to be seen again, has disappeared. And he was in this house as well. And we have his sisters talking about what they've heard of his time in this house, which was a torture house. So, yeah, it's a very dark place. But, you know, I think it's good that it's now at least a home and a monument or a site of memory.
You know, the interesting thing about this is similar to people standing there saying, we just don't accept the fact that the Palestinians are going to be sacrificial lambs. There's a line being drawn between the state and commercial interests and the people. And this particular story is also that story, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I hope this story is, it's a story of, obviously, of pain, of struggle, but I do hope that it's also a story of hope, in the sense of, you know, people have come to watch it, and in the Q&A, some have really been struck, I guess, by the resilience that my mom and that my parents have, and maybe they've sort of reflected on the fact that sometimes in Britain, you know, we had the election of Jeremy Corbyn as Labour leader, and we had some years when people thought that, you know, socialism or the progressive politics were going to come to power essentially in the UK, and it, you know, and he was really, you know, in many ways taken down by forces of reaction who were intent on him not becoming prime minister. And I think there was a lot of sort of activists became very despondent and almost, you know, gave up and, you know, feel that they can't, that they've been burned and it was too painful. But I think some of them have felt that seeing this film has really put things in perspective, that, you know, you have to sort of just keep on struggling, that sometimes, you know, you will face defeat, but that you have to come, you don't have to, obviously, but that, you know, the examples, maybe Latin America is in this sense quite instructive, but there is a history of people fighting and fighting and fighting and then fighting again. So, yeah, I hope that in some ways this film, it's not about, you know, I guess having lessons, but it's about, for me, looking at what my parents' political sort of legacy is, you know, or what is it that they embody really politically.
Yeah, is there anything I should have asked you that you'd like to say?
No, I think, you know, showing on Thursday, and we're hoping to set up more screenings in Australia, so people can get in touch with me at info@alborada-films.net, and we can look at ways of getting it, you know, seen more widely in Australia. There will be an online screening soon as well, so people could obviously join there.
Thank you very much for talking to me this morning.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Pleasure.